you know, another thing about pigeons and their babies is that they have biparental care of young. So the father and the mother take shifts sitting on the nest. So the father might, you know, sit on until 11 a.m. and then the mother comes in. And then when their babies hatch, they make this milk in their crop. The father and the mother do, and they feed their babies milk that they make in their crop.
Wow.
So it's cool to watch them. So they open their mouths and the babies drink the milk from their mouths. So it's really neat to watch them. They also drink, they are able to slurp up water instead of like kind of, if you've ever seen like a robin sitting on your bird, you know, bird bath, you see a robin like they dip the water down their throat. Pigeons could just stick their head down and slurp up water like a person. They have this really great tongue movement.
Oh, that sounds cool and an interesting visual. And how often do pigeons have babies?
They can have babies repeatedly several times a year. They can have them every 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
They have them all throughout the year. We try to keep our flock small, so we steal their eggs sometimes, right, when they have later eggs because we don't want to get overpopulated. But
I gotcha.
Always sitting out there.
Okay. Well, let's take another call then. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Dr. Eleanor Spicer Rice.
Hello?
Hello, it's you. I know you've been holding for a long time. Go ahead, please.
Oh, that's fine. A lot of things you're saying sound like pigeons are related to mourning doves.
They are.
Okay. I thought so because they drink the same. They actually stick their beak down in the water and slurp it up as other birds pick it up and turn mm-hmm. their head up and swallow it that way. And the feeding thing is the same, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, mourning doves, they seem to come back every year or maybe 5 times a year. Build a nest in the same spot right outside. They're always near the house, even sometimes, you know, right on a light fixture or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're the same.
Oh, geez. Uh-oh. I think the call may have dropped off. Sorry, caller, if you want to call back, we'll get you right back on the air. I'm sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened, but I think the call dropped on either on our end or on yours.
This is a good point. People often wonder what the difference is between pigeons and doves. And their doves and pigeons are all in this big scientific family called Columbidae. But people think of doves as being kind of smaller, more compact, and pigeons as being, you know, sturdier and bigger looking. But really, you know, like those white doves that people release at ceremonies, they're just white pigeons. I've got a bunch of them out in my coop right now. They're doves, but they're also pigeons. So he's right. And mourning doves do come back. And they're about 300 species of a day. And in Florida, where y'all are, y'all have more than a dozen species of doves or pigeons there.
Wow.
Especially in the Keys, where you get that weird tropical stuff.
Sure. As you're describing some of these things and responding to some of these callers, Dr. Spicer Rice, it makes me wonder, like, even though this was kind of like spurred, it sounded like at least in part by a young son and an older son and just thinking, hey, wouldn't this be kind of a cool thing to expose them to and just have them watch this up close? So it was kind of a nice family thing. But also, I guess maybe just by nature and training or whatever, do you also sort of find yourself just as often looking at pigeons and what they do and what happens as a scientist?
I think that that's right. I think in the beginning, you know, I just watched them as pets, but then I really wanted to learn more about them. So I spent a lot of time reading about the studies that we've done on them and what they're capable of and books about them. And then I do experiments, not like real experiments, but just watch the behavior of my own birds and compare that to what I've learned about birds. Like they say that pigeons mate for life, for example. I read that all the time. Mine don't. And no matter what flock I've had, I've got some that are having affairs all the time. And I can tell on their babies. And they trick these males into having, you know, taking care of their own baby. You know, so there are things that you can see just because you're a person and you can watch it at home that doesn't always make it through to the literature.
Scientific literature. Interesting. Okay, this may be our caller that we lost, so I'm going to try and put him back on the air right away. Hi, is this you that we lost before?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm so sorry about that, especially after you've been holding so long. My apologies. I think that was my mistake, actually.
Okay, no problem. I just wanted to ask one more question. Is it the same pigeon that keeps nesting around the house? I mean, do they live that long?
They do live that long. They can live for several years. Your mourning dove, you mean.
Mourning doves,
They can live. Yeah. They can live for several years, and their babies often come back and will nest in a similar place.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was the babies because they always come back to the same place, and they come around every day and just walk around on the ground, and they, you know, they eat the bird seed if I put it out there. So
I bet they love the bird seed.
Oh,
yes. Well, good luck with your mourning doves. They're so beautiful and so
they are
sad looking and sweet. I just love to watch those birds.
Yeah, so do I. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling, and sorry again about the abrupt end, but glad you could rejoin us. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Dr. Spicer-Rice, talking about coming back, I think we've kind of established that the pigeons that you raise, the homing pigeons, they do always come back. I guess I'd be curious to know, like, what's the longest stretch that they're away? And to the extent you could know this or kind of guess or guesstimate, I guess, what's the furthest distance that they travel away and before they do come back?
So they don't, they just try to come straight home. So if, when we take our pigeons out to train them, we have this little suitcase that's for pigeons, you know, you put them in there, and we take them out in the north, south, east, west direction, you know, just a little bit from the nest and then a little bit farther. Once they go 5 miles, they can go 500 or 1,000 miles. They can go very far. But when we let them out the first time, it takes them a time to come home. They fly straight up in the air and start flying circles to find their way home. And so we'll often beat them home. But the second time, we never beat them home, no matter how, if it's a, you know, a long ways away or half a block, they can fly up to 100 miles an hour. And so they always beat us home. They want to come home. The longest distance a pigeon has ever flown was not my pigeon, but it was this pigeon that flew from France to Vietnam home over unfamiliar territory, and it was 7,200 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're thinking about how they get home, we don't really know how pigeons go home.
Yeah.
They need a map sense, right? They need a geographic orientation. And then they need like this bearing sense. They need this directional sense, right? So they think that they use some combination of the Earth's magnetic fields and landmark and this internal clock to work out direction. And so it's got to be some sort of combination of that. But we've been studying pigeons, not me, but, you know, researchers have been, humans have been studying pigeons for a long time. And we still haven't quite worked out how they find their way home.
But yeah.
They always come home.
It's so interesting because obviously directly related would be just the incredible migration that all kinds of other birds undertake and how far some of those go. And again, it's, I think for many it's mystifying until you just think, nope, that's what they do and they are amazing at it, but it's not surprising anymore.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you...
It surprises me.
Yeah. You know, well, no, but that's...
It still is shocking to me to see, like, you know, snow geese come here every year. And it shocks me to think of how far they came and that they come back. I'm always afraid before they get here. And then when they get here, I just, I'm like, oh, thank goodness you made it.
Yeah.
It just seems so perilous.
Well, and also about your own pigeons, just so interesting that they couldn't travel the learning curve any faster, apparently. It sounds like just the one time that they go back and kind of figure out where they're going, and then all the subsequent times they just make a beeline and it's just fast and taking the express lane, basically.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They come back really fast, and you can't beat them. I mean, and it's exciting to wait for them to come home. Sometimes we'll split up, and some of us will wait for them to come home, and the others of us. In the olden days, they used to put pigeons on a train. So they would hand the conductor here in the United States, you'd hand the conductor your pigeons and say, you know, let them off at this stop. And the conductor would go down the line and let them off when he got out, and people would wait for the birds to come home. It's, you know,
wow.
Fun.
Interesting.
And it's a neat pastime.
For sure. All right, let's take another caller. Hi. I know you've been holding for a long time as well. You're on Talking Animals with Dr. Eleanor Spicer-Rice.
I think it's me.
Yeah, and you have been holding a long time, so thanks for holding.
Thank you. Yes. I have two questions, but I want to stick with the pigeons for now. I'm assuming that you have to have several owners of the same pigeon in order for that pigeon to carry a message, or many owners perhaps, because, I don't know, I know this from cartoons, not very
right.
Scientific. But how do they carry the messages, you know, back and forth?
That's a really good question. That is a myth debunking question. Are you ready? They can only go home. So when they hear messages, like pigeons in World War II, they think that they trained, they had a pigeon service, United States Pigeon Service trained 50,000 birds to carry messages.
Wow.
So they would put the bird, they would train them to go to the base, and then they would carry pigeons out there in the field with them and tie messages to them, and they saved thousands of lives this way. But they could only go back to the bases. So they would... And my pigeons can only come to me. Yours can only go to you. But I can take your pigeon home with me and tie a message to it and send it back to you.
I see.
So that, I'm so glad you asked that question, because you see on TV and stuff, people are writing love letters to each other and sticking them to a pigeon's leg. And the pigeon's like goes back and forth between people. And you think, gosh, wouldn't that be nice? And I didn't know until after I got pigeons that you couldn't do that. They just
fascinating.
Come home.
If you don't mind, I'd like to change the subject to hornets, because as much as I really love, I do love insects, but as much as I love them, I had the unfortunate experience of stepping on a hornet's nest and sustaining seven very painful bites.
Yikes.
Is there a way to detect? Because I went back to look to see if there was any notification that I missed that they would be there, but I saw nothing.
You know, the terrible thing about hornets, and they're really cool and they're great predators, so just get that out of the way. They have a really great role ecologically. But you usually don't see, especially yellow jackets, which are, you know, a wasp that lives underground. You don't see them until they sting you. Now, if you're very still and you watch, you can see the hole. You can see them going in and out of the hole. But they can sting repeatedly. And so they don't have to do, like, a honeybee. If you bother them, they'll bump you before they sting you, because they can only sting you once. Hornets and yellow jackets and ground nesting wasps like that don't have to worry about losing their lives to sting you. So they will sting you, you know, more quickly than something like a honeybee would. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Yikes.
Well, I just sat on the ice and I could still breathe and had no anaphylactic experience. So I just stayed home on the ice for a day. And the next day I was okay. I still needed a little ice the second day.
Yeah.
But they are the only insect that I would fear, because they're undetectable. But if we're near water.
Did
is
you
that
see
typical that
did
they
you
would
go
be?
Back out there?
Yes. I went back out to look and I could see nothing. But it was near water. Is it possible that they do require water in the woods?
They drink water, but they don't usually nest near water because they can't move around very much. They usually nest where they are able to, you know, to resist flooding and stuff. So they would want to nest in a dry place. I don't know. They will nest in, like, logs, like hollow logs near water.
No, they were like above a drainage ditch. There was a drainage ditch below, and what happened was I was following an otter. Actually, I had the luxury of following an otter who was killing. Yes, it was killing soft-shell turtles on the bank of a little lake.
The story turned dark here. Yeah.
Cool. I'm sorry.
He said the story turned dark.
I followed a gorgeous otter, and she went through under into a drainage ditch, and I knew that the ditch would be draining out on the other side of the road. So I ran to the other side of the road, carefully, I thought, and walked along the drainage ditch, noticing all the bodies of the soft-shell turtles, you know, what was left of them. I guess that was this otter's favorite food.
All right, caller. Well, we're so unfortunately nearing the end of our time. We've got to quickly get a couple more things in before we have to say goodbye.
God bless.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
You.
I hope you feel better with your foot there. So, Dr. Spicer, has a couple quick things. Earlier, we got an email asking, essentially, what the smell is like with your collection of pigeons.
My pigeons don't smell at all, but I clean out their coops a lot.
Right. Okay. That takes us back to,
Yeah, it'd be pretty bad if you left it, but most pigeon owners know to clean out their coops regularly.
Right. So if you're zealous about it, there's really no smell issue at all. And since we may just only have a moment or so left, I think the best place to find you online, if I'm not mistaken, is Instagram at @espicerrice. But is there a website or anything else that we should alert people to that may want to follow up more on either pigeons?
You're welcome to read my writing on verdantword.com. That's my company's website, verdantword.com. And I think I have espicerrice.com. Let me see. I might have a website.
We could break some news here today. Yeah.
I think I have a website, but I can't remember what it is.
Yeah.
You can go to verdantword.com and see, I think it might be, it's spicerrice.com.
Okay.
My website.
That's good to know.
Learn about what books are coming out, because we have some books coming out next year.
Well, I figure we'll get into that when the books are out. We'll, of course, invite you back on to talk about one or both
Thank
at that
you.
Time. But we can just hopefully tease people by letting them know that you do have books coming out. And then when they're actually out, we'll reconvene here. And
you can see my old books.
That's right. So, I think we have just about reached the end of our time, unfortunately, Dr. Spicer Rice, but it's been great as always, and I really enjoyed our assortment of called questions, and I'm sorry we didn't get to all the called questions and all the emails, but we got to a good sampling of them, and I think we covered some good ground. So, Dr. Spicer Rice, thank you so much again for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I've had a great time. Thank you.
Okay, and we will speak again in 2023 about the new books, for sure.
I hope so. All right, take care.
Okay, thank you. In a moment, I'll speak with Karen Slifker about the Florida Wiener Dog Derby happening this Saturday, May 7th at Curtis Hickson Waterfront Park. We'll hear key details about the Wiener Dog and Wiener Wannabe races for an array of canine competitors and other activities planned for the day. We'll speak with her in just a moment or two. Right now, we're going to step into the Comedy Corner with a piece about pigeons, almost customized in the wake of our conversation with Dr. Spicer Rice. This is Hannibal Buress with Pigeons Get Murked in today's Comedy Corner on Talking Animals on WMNF.
I have weird aspirations, like I really want to kick a pigeon. Because pigeons walk around like they're untouchable, like you're not untouchable, I'll kick it out of you. You're not waiting for the bus because you can fly. But I can't kick pigeons because there's always people around. If I kick one, some lady will see, like, oh my gosh, that guy just kicked a pigeon in broad daylight. And she goes and tells her husband, honey, I saw this guy kick a pigeon in broad daylight. Her husband tells his boss, my wife said this guy kicked a pigeon in broad daylight. His boss knew somebody at the paper. They seen, you know, front page of the Tribune, black dudes are kicking pigeons. There's been a flurry of pigeon kicking going on in the black community. Must be stopped at once. Save the pigeons. Must stop these PKBPs, pigeon kicking black people. Save the pigeons. Acronyms are always hilarious. I don't know why I want to kick a pigeon. I just figure to make my day better. Somehow I kick a pigeon in the morning, something bad happens that evening, like, you know what, that happened. But I kicked a pigeon earlier as she was relaxing and invigorating. It's impossible to kick a pigeon. They're too quick. I tried different strategies. I tried to, like, side swipe, kick a pigeon and shit. I tried to punt one. I set up cardboard and act like I'm a breakdancer, street performer. And try to hit them with, like, a... But they don't buy that. They know all the gimmicks. That's why I want to have the Pigeon Kicking Olympics, where you get judged by the distance that you kick the pigeon, the number of feathers you kick off the pigeon, and the octave of the squawk. When you kick the pigeon like a high pitch, like, ooh, that's a gold medal. You kick out of that pigeon, you're a goddamn warrior. You deserve your own statue in a park, like, yeah.
That was a piece called Pigeons Get Murked in today's Comedy Corner from Hannibal Buress, taken from his album My Name is Hannibal. Now it's time to speak with Karen Slifker about the Florida Wiener Dog Derby convening this Saturday, May 7th at Curtis Hickson Waterfront Park. It might sound fountain fun and nutty, which it truly is, but it also, as we'll no doubt hear, there's an important fundraising element as well. This is Karen Slifker on Talking Animals on WMNF. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Yeah.
So before we address some of the details of the Saturday's event, let's just discuss briefly the Florida Wiener Dog Derby more generally. For instance, tell me about the history of the event. How did it begin?
Oh, it began approximately in 2010, and it was started by a friend of mine, Doug Daly. And he originally lived in Texas and moved to Florida and had a little wiener dog named Tex that did a lot of races in Texas, and he did very well. So he started the races in North Fort Myers. And then in 2015, I took it over after racing my dog, and he, you know, graciously gave it to me. And we moved it to the Central Florida area, and we've been running ever since then. Only missed 2020.
Wow, that's great. So has it changed much over those ensuing years?
It's changed a little bit. When I took it over in 2015, because I did participate in the races first, we just noticed so many people would show up and they would bring dogs, but their dogs were not really into racing. So I like to attend different dog events. So I decided to incorporate some fun doggy games, and we brought the costume contest into it. And then also we have a kissing contest, a tail wagging contest, a bad to the bone, which is an obedience contest. And then we also incorporated speed trap, which is where the dogs just run by themselves and we record their speed with a speed gun. And then we have three different categories: heavyweight, featherweight, and middleweight.
Wow. Well, that's great. I mean, when you're testing the speed of running dachshunds, I think that's some high level technology there. That's great. So
yeah, we just use a baseball gun.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, before we go any further, just so we don't run out of time without hitting those, let's be sure to hit the key details. So again, as we've noted, it's this Saturday, May 7th. It's at Curtis Hickson Waterfront Park. It starts, I believe, at 10 a.m.?
Yes, it does. That's when we start the costume contest, and then we'll roll right into the races.
But it's a pretty full day of events, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yes. We start with Super Seniors, Frosty Flyers, Chariots of Fire, which is our wheelie dog race.
And then we have our blind deaf race. We also have our wiener wannabes, which is small mixed breed and all breed dogs. And we call them that because every dog, as we say, wants to be a wiener dog.
Yeah. What's the cutoff point? Like, could a Labrador Retriever say, well, I kind of want to be a dachshund myself, so can I enter?
Well,
I mean,
we do
small breed.
35 pounds just because I think a Labrador would fit into our dog gate.
Yeah,
I
gotcha.
Perfect contender for speed trap in our heavyweight category.
Okay, so there's something for all dogs, it sounds like.
Absolutely, all breeds, all dogs. And even, you know, if somebody wants to try their cat, they're welcome to try a cat.
How often has that happened over the years?
One time we did have a piggy race with us, and that was fun.
Oh, good. I bet they did well.
Yes, the little piggy did. I wish I could remember the pig's name. It was so many years ago. It was a cute little potbelly pig. But
yeah. How many dogs of various kinds, wannabes or real McCoys, do you expect at this Saturday's event?
We get approximately 300.
Oh, my goodness.
Participating.
Wow.
We already have approximately 150 signed up to race and or compete in our fun contest. And usually we get a lot of walk-ups the day of that want to compete in the contest. The races are pretty full. We've already closed a couple categories.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with that in mind, is there a website and or social media pages that folks could go to either find out more about the day or just see more about the races in the meantime?
Yeah, we're at www.floridawienerdogderby.com and also on Facebook, Florida Wiener Dog Derby, and Instagram, where it's speed_weenies.
Great. Okay, cool. Well, this sounds like it's going to be a total blast, and obviously you guys have been doing it long enough where you've got it down to a wiener dog science, it sounds like. So that's great. All right. Well, any last tidbit we should know about just to further entice us? Already sounds super fun and exciting. Anything else that we haven't touched on that we should?
We are 100% volunteer orientated. We don't take any fees or anything. All of the proceeds go to our two partner rescues this year, which is Skyway Dachshund Rescue and DARE Dachshund Adoption Rescue and Education.
That's great. So all the fun and madness and racing and costume contests and all that stuff all ultimately serves as a fundraiser for those two organizations.
Absolutely, and our raffle and our art auction as well.
That's great. All right, well, gosh, this sounds really fun. Karen, thanks for joining us on Talking Animals, and good luck with Saturday's Derby.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Coming up on WNF Music Kicks, back in with Scott Elliott from noon to 3 p.m., a glorious 3 hours of music, followed by Robin Hooper with yet another 3 hours of music, and we just keep the music coming as we roll into our block of Latin programming and beyond. Meanwhile, on this show at the moment is the prize for Name That Animal Tune. I'll be offering something fabulous from the Talking Animals Vault to the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals on WMNF. All right, if you can name that animal tune, we'll probably take your guess off the air, chances are, because we have just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. I invite you to join me next Wednesday when we'll offer yet another edition of Talking Animals. Can't guarantee it'll be about pigeons and wiener dogs. Probably not, in fact, but hopefully it'll be something interesting and illuminating and maybe fun as well. Invite you to tune in then for that. Also invite you to visit talkinganimals.net for audio archives of every show we've ever broadcast. Apple Podcasts are available there too, as well as other podcast platforms. There are also links to our Facebook page, Instagram page, Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. You can also subscribe to our newsletter to find out about our guests a couple of days beforehand and other news from the Talking Animals world. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WMNF, Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, WikiWatchy, and beyond. Scott Elliott is up next after NPR News headlines. And you know what? Let's just take a wild shot. Let's take one of our guesses. On the air. Hi, you're on the air. If you can name that animal tune.
Elephant.
What's that? What's that?
It's the elephant walk, isn't it?
Oh, geez, wrong artist, wrong animal tune. But I know what you had in mind. So I'm sorry, that's not quite right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hi, you're on Talking Animals. Can you quickly name that animal tune? You're live on the air.
The Lonely Bull.
Oh, so close, but not quite right either. At least it's the right artist. All right, this is Talking Animals on WMNF.